Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Your cold beverages ready and your hot popcorn ready. That's right. NLD is going to the movies. Episode 76. I am Otis B. Dreads. This is the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. I have Mrs. Dreads with me. How are you, Mrs. Dreads?
I'm good.
Are you?
Yes.
You sound good, actually. I haven't pissed you off too much this week, and we are recording on a Sunday, but this episode will drop tomorrow on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Movie Monday is what I like to call it, but it is the Night of Living Dreads go to the movies. We also have, as always, we call him in the group chat, Dom the Movie Man, a.k.a. Night of the Living Dom. Dom, how are you, my friend?
I'm heavily medicated, and I'm back in custody, so I must be all right.
Awesome, awesome. So they've been treating you well here in the insane asylum, man.
Not really, no. Not at all. Someone help, please.
Good night. Help. Well, you got a little choppy there, so you may want to move around. I'm sure the white coats are trying to keep your voice quiet, and you
kind of it's the lead paint.
It's the lead paint. You don't get very good reception through all the lead paint. Yeah, it makes sense.
Not healthy.
Right.
Then help.
All right. We did have three movies tonight. We're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. But I just have to explain a couple things. We normally have three movies. Had a little technical issue. It was the movie I picked, but I'm good with that. I'll be the sacrificial lamb here. Okay. So my movie is not going to be mentioned because it's going to be brought up in later episodes or another Night of the Living Dreads goes to the movies episode.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have two really good ones, I think, anyway. Two really good ones. One being Popcorn from 1991. That was your pick, Mrs. Dreads.
Yep.
I was actually skeptical of this, but then it turned out to be okay. And then we have Dom. He has picked a movie that I wasn't sure how I was going to... Let's just put it this way, because I want to save most of what I have to say about your pick, Dom, for when we get into it. But I thoroughly enjoyed your pick. Thank you for that. I probably would have never found this movie if it hadn't have been for you bringing it up.
That's awesome.
Go ahead.
I've said that to you guys since we've done the show. How many times have I said thank you? Would have never seen this movie if you hadn't picked it.
Right.
I know how that is. That's awesome.
And that's exactly what your movie did to me. Before, as most people know with, the normal show, the other, the non-movie review show, we've been trying something different the past couple of weeks, Mrs. Dreads.
Mm-hmm.
We've been, finding some kind of, funny news, strange news, weird news, just, mm-hmm. A little bit of anything that catches our eye. And we got two of them. We thought maybe we'd have two of them. because we're minus a movie. Let's get into this. I have a, you know, from the insider.com, an 18-year-old New York City woman is charged with murder after a man was found dead and wrapped in plastic on a McDonald's roof. Now, I'm wondering, is this like shrink wrap? Do you guys have that? Because you are a manager at a McDonald's, Mrs. Dredge. Do they have shrink wrap, you know, available? I mean, or I'm just curious if, because there's not a lot
of... plastic wrap?
Yeah, plastic wrap. Well, okay. Okay, plastic wrap and wrapped in plastic. That could be different things. There's a lot of details that I think Dom and myself need to know. And one is, did they use actual shrink wrap? And two, how long was this body on the roof? Let's get into it a little bit, okay? An 18-year-old woman was arrested with murder after police found a man's body wrapped in a plastic bag. All right, so that you know, takes care of that mystery. On a roof of a McDonald's in the Bronx. Weird things happen in the Bronx, wouldn't you say? You ever been to the Bronx, Dom?
I have not, no.
No?
No, I have not. That's not on my list.
No, no.
No, I've heard enough about the Bronx that I don't want to visit. Sorry to my friends that live there.
Didn't we get a room in the Bronx, Jody, during a 9/11 memorial thing? It's in Brooklyn, not the Bronx. Right. That's just bad. And no offense to those any listeners that live in the Bronx or Brooklyn.
It wasn't bad though.
No, it's kind of a cool place. Would you say, Dom?
No, it's just green. I've been to Brooklyn. I like Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, Brooklyn's not bad. All right, the suspect, an 18-year-old, how would you pronounce that, Jody? Ayami?
Yeah.
Stamulus?
Ayami or something?
How would you pronounce it, Dom?
Ayame? Something like that.
Right,
I don't know.
All right, we'll just call her, we'll call her A.S. We'll call her A.S.
Ass.
That's wrong. She was arrested.
Because I can't pronounce the last name.
Right. No, I can't either. Stamos? No.
Stimulus?
Stimulus, but with an A.
Stimulus.
All right. We'll stick with A.S. She was arrested on Thursday, July 17th, just a few days ago, and charged with murder. As reported, police discovered the victim, who was Richard Hamlet, his lifeless body early Wednesday morning. Okay. So, we still don't know how long it was up there. It's on top of a McDonald's roof. And how'd they find that? They found it because a maintenance worker... apparently was up there, you know. You guys have your own kind of, you know, little maintenance guys, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't say if it was one of a, if he was a Mick employee.
Sure, he probably was.
Or if he was a Mick contractor. All right, that was a joke gone horribly wrong. Hamlet was killed during a robbery in his apartment that involved good old A. Stam, A. Stam, and two other men. How did they come to that conclusion? Well, according to the charging documents, A. Stam and her accomplices beat and choked Hamlet, then wrapped his body in plastic before moving him onto the roof of a nearby McDonald's restaurant. Now, I want to stop there, and I want to start with you, Dominic. I want to start with you. Ray, yeah, I'm putting you on. Yeah, you got the hot seat right now because I'm going to start with you. if you have, you know, maybe it was a botched robbery of Hamlet's apartment. Maybe it was botched. Okay. And things got out of hand. It didn't go the way you wanted, so you had to take this motherfucker down. Where, is the first thing that is the first place to hide the body after you maybe you meant to kill the motherfucker, maybe you didn't. If you
proof of McDonald's.
Yeah, right. You know exactly where, right. You know exactly where I'm going with this.
How the fuck this dude's 230 pounds? How am I getting him out of this apartment to the roof of McDonald's? Is my first thought. Like,
is that yeah. how big he was?
Know.
Because they don't give the details in my article.
Just, I'm just guessing.
That you're trying to be funny.
On that one. They don't,
you would figure somebody's going to pay attention.
Right.
Yeah, like, I mean, when did they carry him out? Like, hey, let's get him out. I have an idea. All right, what's the idea? We're going to go down to McDonald's, and we're going to take him through the kitchen. We're going to get roof access, and we're going to go put him up there. Okay, and then what? That's it. What?
Right.
Like, what?
We're just going to drop
the
him
end
off.
Of it. We're just going to put him on the roof. Like, how long does that last? Until someone realizes he's up there, I guess.
It is not a very well thought out plan.
No, I think I would, if I were in that situation, let me preface that properly. What I would do is, I would look for a way to dispose the body in a highly remote area that wasn't easily accessible, and hopefully animals and insects will get to it. Not that I have experience.
Right.
I'm just saying, putting something on the roof of a local business establishment, putting a body up there is probably the worst possible place to hide it.
Well, it's McDumb.
It is McDumb.
You're a McRetard.
A McMurder that went McWrong.
A McMurder that went McWrong. A-Stam is charged with murder, concealing a corpse, and tampering with evidence, says NBC New York. She will appear in court on August 17th. And the two other suspects haven't been arrested. That's pretty much all I got. From my source, but you have another source, and what are you getting from there?
I don't have much of a different source, but
no, I know.
I think her lawyer can make a valid argument against the concealment of a corpse. Where'd she hide it? She put it on the roof so like everyone could see it.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm making awful jokes about this. This is a horrible event.
Well, the awful jokes are the awful
dark.
Jokes are going to fucking continue.
I'm too dark. They're about to get worse.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's about to get really, really bad. Coming from horrormoviezone.org. Days of the Dead, this is a horror convention, is facing backlash after controversial photos emerge. The horror genre convention, Days of the Dead, started facing backlash yesterday. Let's see, this article came out just earlier today after a quote-unquote staff member posted a rather controversial and in parentheses, disturbing photo. The photo shows a second, quote-unquote, second staff member. Well, who's the first fucking staff member? We've already gotten the two. I don't even know who the damn the first one is, right?
Oh, the first one's just a guy who, took the picture and put it on their Instagram, I guess. He's the accomplice now.
Yeah.
We're calling him the accomplice.
All right. You know, the second, and this is in Indianapolis. What's that?
I was just saying the second guy is the guy who's actually guilty here of whatever they're going to accuse him of.
Yeah, right, exactly. Seems to be just a little bit of a lag, but I'm sure we'll be able to deal with that. Yeah, this is, Day of the Dead, Days of the Dead horror convention out there in Indianapolis. there's a picture of a guy who had purchased a teddy bear from a vendor, and I was a little confused about this. I at first, when I saw the picture, thought it was, just Photoshopped. But you brought a different light to this, Dominic. You said that, you know, and because next in the article, it says the bear has the face of comedian Robin Williams. Now, he's wearing a shirt that wasn't sold this way. Can we all agree on that?
Right.
It probably wasn't sold this way. It was just the bear. And, with the face of Robin Williams. It's actually kind of a funny bear. I would like to have one, actually. Wouldn't you like to have a bear that had a smiling face of Robin Williams to hug on when you're feeling down in the dumps? Well, this guy...
No. It looks creepy, dude. Look at the fucking...
It is.
Look how happy. It's like, I almost wonder, like, I bet that's how Robin Williams looks in his casket. Like, that's not how I want to see him. That's what I think of when I see that fucking...
Oh my god!
That's like, open his goddamn eyes, right. Please. Like that's the worst part. His eyes are closed.
Right.
That's why I think he's already dead. That's awful. But anyway,
right.
Go ahead.
No. And like I said, when you look at the picture, man, it kind of looks like it was Photoshop, but apparently these bears were sold this way. Well, this guy had bought a shirt that has a, it's kind of like how the old hangman. You ever play hangman with your grandmother or anything? Mm-hmm. I used to play with my grandmother all the time. And it's got almost like a stick figure, hanging from a noose, and it says, hang in there. And this staff member, I'm assuming it's the second staff member, right? The staff member, Chris Blair. Yeah. Chris Blair, who was the one holding the bear, had put this shirt on this teddy bear that has a picture of Robin Williams. And the tag, and then this was on, I think, this was on their Twitter, but no, it's on the Facebook. It looks like Facebook right there. The Days of the Dead Indianapolis Facebook page. A good sense of humor is healthy, is what he put, and then posted this. Now, I just...
It's even darker.
Right, right.
Even darker when you think about it. Go ahead.
Oh my God! No, because I'm about to hand the mic to you, my friend. Because we're talking about suicide here, so it kind of I don't know. Are we crossing the fucking line there? How dark, How dark can dark humor get before it's kind of disrespectful? How far is that? Tell me about it.
It's real dark. This is, here's the reality of it. The reality is, if we're going to be honest, it's absolutely disrespectful. If that was my family member, I wouldn't want this done. The bear itself isn't disrespectful. I kind of question, it's a little bit morbid, like taking to a celebrity's face and making a very accurate sculpture or something of it, because it looks very lifelike. Like the face itself, I can understand why you thought this was Photoshop initially, and I initially did as well. It's very,
right.
Very lifelike and authentic. It does bother me that the eyes are closed on it, though. Like, if you're going to show me Robin Williams smiling, like give me his eyes open and shit. Let me see him all happy. Like I said, it almost looks like a casket face.
Yeah.
And it could just be the angle because the head's tilted back, too. I don't know. But do I think what's actually happening is in the image of funny? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. I'm awful. I think buying that doll and then going over and buying the shirt and putting that fucking shirt on that doll, it's funny to me. Like, I have a dark sense of humor. I laugh my fucking ass off. A lot of people are going to. Listen, I have issues. Like, I've dealt with shit in my life. I think that's why my sense of humor is so dark.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, I understand, like, it's not something, like, if I were to do this, I would not, like, take pictures of it and put it on the internet. That's, like, to me, it's a dark joke, and, like, yeah, it's a dark joke, like, amongst me and my friends somewhere, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
But once you start potentially having a larger audience, like, how dark is that joke? Like, you know what? Some jokes should just be kept for friends in private or whatever. Like,
right.
they're inappropriate. They're funny to those who appreciate that style of humor. And that's what that kind of fits in with me. Like, so doing the right thing was taking the picture down and apologizing. Well, doing the right thing was not posting it. Period.
Well, yeah, funny. I mean,
walking around with that fucking thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny. Like, if I had seen someone at the convention walking around carrying one of them, I would have been like, oh, shit, look at dude over here. Like, with the Robin Williams van, I would have fucking laughed. Like, that's fucking crazy.
I, you know, I have to admit, I would have, snickered. I'm not even going to lie.
Right.
Okay. Not that I'm, you know, Robin Williams is one of my favorites. People, comedians growing up. Mork and Mindy, one of my favorite fucking shows growing up, okay? And like yourself, you know, I've had, you know, a lot of problems. I put it out there, you know, and I've told people on this podcast, you know, about my depression, about my, you know, dealings with suicide and things like that. So, you know, it's something that is you know, very dear to me, you know, something I'm an advocate for. If I'm an advocate for anything nowadays, it's for, you know, suicide prevention, helping people, you know, overcome that shit. So, you know, with all of that, you know, on my fucking plate, in a serious, you know, way, now all of a sudden, you know, I see this happen. And, you know, I kind of snicker a little bit. And then I feel bad. I feel bad what's that?
Because you laughed? You feel bad because you laughed?
Well, I feel a little bit bad because I laugh. And that's mainly because of, you know, the fact that I've, you know, dealt with it.
I have to. Like, I almost wish I hadn't seen the story before we came on air, so we could have got my reaction the first time I read it. I'm still laughing.
Right.
I mean,
it is
honestly,
funny,
when we it's a horror con, right?
Yeah,
like that's where this is at. It's a horror con. Right?
Yes.
So who's going to the horror con? People who are into like the horror kind of culture. So like you should expect to see some people with a lot of darker humor at this type of event.
Right.
And really, you shouldn't be offended by anything you see here. Like, this seems to be like, you're going to a horror con.
Yeah.
You're going to see some shit.
Exactly.
I've never been to one.
I haven't either.
If I went to one, I need to. I would love to.
We have. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if they let me out of the asylum and I can't make it to one,
they will. I'm gonna get us a weekend pass.
The last time that happened, I didn't come back for 3 months.
Well, I know.
And then they found me sneaking back in from Canada with all them explosives.
Oh well, hey, we had fun, right?
We did. I don't mind. Like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. I don't mind.
Yeah, sign me up. Yeah.
I'm not
complaining. Yeah, like. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Do you have anything you want to add to this horror convention? What was this in bad taste, Mrs. Dreads?
I think so. I think it was.
You think it was in bad taste?
I laughed at that. I was just kind of shocked.
Right. You laughed too. Right. Yeah. Good. You have dark humor. Go ahead. She's got a catch.
Would it have been funnier?
Huh?
Would it have been funnier? Would it have been funnier if the Robin Williams bear was wearing a COVID mask?
A what mask?
Keep him protected. The mask to protect him from the Rona.
Oh my God!
He needed a mask.
How about Mrs. Doubtfire?
On him. I'm concerned about Mrs. Doubtfire's health. Like, it's dangerous out there.
Right. That's hilarious. Yeah, no, that would have been accepted.
And it was creepy. He does look creepy.
It really does. That's why I thought it was Photoshop.
It's like those real baby things.
Yeah. Yeah,
can
right.
Can you use this as the thumbnail when you upload?
I am. I already had it planned out, my friend. I was like, this is one of the creepiest things
maybe
I've ever
the bear?
Seen. Yes, the bear.
Yeah, I'll crop the bear. Yeah, just crop the bear. Yeah. Put that as the thumbnail.
Oh,
like,
God.
Now he's just like a happy little Robin Williams bear. Just hanging out.
Right. And everybody is going to think that, oh, man, Otis B. Dreads, man, he's lying about his skills. He Photoshopped that shit. No, I did not. I am dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to this. This looks like it's Photoshopped, and I swear I'd be surprised if it actually fucking wasn't Photoshop.
No, it's not, because the artist who made the artist is Patrick Hart, and that he sells these bears, because they went down and tracked him down for a comment, and he said, I'm aware of the shirt, I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Right.
The bear is meant to be whimsical, not dark. I'm a huge fan of Robin. So he makes these and sells these, I guess, because he's a fan, or he's just like, it's a way to make money off of a celebrity. So I mumbled that last part. Not judging anyone.
No, right. No,
not judging anyone.
That's funny.
And, alternative motivation. I don't know. Oh, I got to remember I'm involved in the show, and I can't just faithlessly say shit.
No, you're in the insane asylum. You have to understand that.
I am. And the medication doesn't always work. There's still no filter here.
I know, right? It's fucking bullshit.
You're stupid.
Anyway.
But I supported whoever they were. Yeah, the group, the dead people. Dead people.
Oh my goodness! All right, I think we need a break. We have movies. We have two movies coming up. The first one we're going to talk about after this small little break, because we have to give some love to the store, truecrime7.com. They have graced our listeners with a promo code, that being promo code NLD, to get 10% off. You're going to hear about all that. Hey, man, hold on, Dom. Hold on, Jody. We'll be
right back.
If you're
anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dreads here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. Try truecrime7.store. True crime, spell out 7, SEVEN.store. The only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really great prices. You can't beat their prices. 30-day money-back guarantee. You are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on orders, $75 and up, 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows, and if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise. Great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. Sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. tell you what, you are not going to regret going to TrueCrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, TrueCrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you. And remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered.
Yeah, don't get fucking murdered.
Try not to, at least.
I mean, that should be on everybody's, like, yeah. You know, I mean, some days, you know. I mean, I'm not going to say something. I also
should, like, conversation, like, before you get off the phone,
like,
hey, don't get murdered. Don't you get murdered too?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is like a
term of endearment.
It's a term of endearment.
Yeah, it's like you walk in and out of the store, you see someone, hey, how are you? I'm good, don't get murdered. Okay. Hey, I'm going to try not to.
Right.
I'm
going
to try real hard not to.
But that's our tagline over there, TrueCrime7.store, TrueCrime7.com. That's our tagline. Yeah, I took that from them. I didn't make that up. I'm not that fucking clever.
But that is funny, though. Could you just imagine the look on people's faces? You're like, get murdered.
Right.
Have a nice day. Fuck? You too. Don't get murdered.
I'm like, oh, did you see that psychopath? I think he's going to follow me home. Let's fucking leave. God. Who the fuck says don't get murdered?
All right.
I'm like, hey, ain't seen you in 3 years. Ain't seen you in 3 years. How you been? I've been great, man. Good seeing you. Don't get killed. What? Right. Don't let someone stab you tonight.
Don't get murdered. Oh, it makes you the first suspect for one. Anyway.
It does.
It really does. Now, Dom, I know you're anxious to get into these movies, man. You're anxious to get into these movies because I got a feeling that you thought that we were just done with the fucking show after the, the first two articles. You're like, wait a minute, movies!
I didn't know what was happening.
Right.
I felt like the train was about to go off track, so I just started screaming and having a fit.
No, those two articles, which I will post in the description for those to read for themselves, so you guys know we're not making this shit up. Some of this shit can be kind of hard to believe, but we're getting into movies now. Get your cold beverages and hot popcorn ready. Here we go. We're at the movies. We always start with Mrs. Dredds. Mrs. Dredds, do you need me to move the laptop over there? Can you see it okay? You can maneuver with that. You picked a movie from 1991. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, we were talking about some ideas, Dom, before we started recording, which we're not going to put out there quite yet because I think it's a really good idea. But it does have something to do with the 1991 film Popcorn.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about Popcorn, Jody.
Like you said, it came out in 1991. It's an American slasher film. Directed by Mark, is it Harrier?
Are you reading this from Wiki?
Yeah, and just to say who's in it. But and written by Alan Almsby. It stars Jill Scholine, Tom Villard, D. Wallace. And Derek Rydell.
Oh, guess what?
The plot of the story is a girl, she's having these nightmares. She's in the process of making a student film for the school she's going to.
This is such a deep movie.
The dream she's having about, she thinks they opened a theater to run a midnight.
But tell them about the dreams. You're skipping ahead here.
Oh, the dreams are about.
Yeah. She has dreams.
This guy nightmares. Coming to her. And stuff in her dreams, and
what's happening? These things are flashing. You're not a good public speaker, are you?
No. I mean, you don't want to give the whole movie away. You want them to watch.
No. Fuck it, man. It came out in 1991. If they haven't seen it by now, then fuck them. Huh. Ain't that right, Dom?
But yeah, it's about a man. She's being chased by a man who's trying to kill her.
Give it away now.
And the girl's name in her dream is Sarah, and she catches on fire and stuff, and it's pretty crazy.
I'm not. You know what? I'm taking that away. You can't see that wiki anymore.
Okay, I was just looking at little bits and pieces.
Now tell us.
But then after,
tell us about the movie.
Shut your mouth, so I can.
No.
But after her class decides to start do an all night horror marathon at a local movie theater, and then the
and why is
start.
That? You know why that is? Because they're at the University of California, and the film department of that college does they're kind of shitting on them. They're moving them from building to building. You know, they can't seem. They're kind of like the low curriculum on the collegiate totem pole.
Right.
So, you know. And look, I took away Wiki, so I don't have any of their names in front of me. I don't fuck myself
Her
on
name's
that
Maggie.
One. Yeah, her name's Maggie. Main
Toby.
Maggie.
Yeah, Toby.
Toby. We have, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's your
they're
fucking
the,
movie.
They're the main characters, though. They're some of the main characters. It's a good. I liked it. I didn't think. Shut up. You throw me off track. You start talking about her stuff and just throw me off track.
This is such an in-depth fucking movie review.
Oh, shut up. I'm giving you the gist of it, and then you guys can throw your own opinion in there.
All right, go ahead, Dom. What do you think about this movie?
There's some real interesting stuff going on in this movie. At first, when it started, I was like, the first couple minutes into this, no, I'll be honest. When we did the three movies, decided, I'll share with everybody my routine. I go and watch the trailer. Even my pick, I watch the trailer of my pick just to see if I've seen the movie or not, like just to see how it looks from the trailer itself. So when I watched the trailer for this, I was like, oh, my Lord. Oh, yeah, I don't want to watch this. And it started in, like, the first 5-10 minutes. I was like, oh, God, I don't want to see this movie. And then I was so happy that I watched this film. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff going on behind in it, like that I like more than what's actually happening. Like, they find the idea is what? There was a guy who made a horror film.
Yes.
And the audience laughed at him. They were like, your film's crap, like it's a joke.
And it
he
was
got mad.
Wasn't that first one the first movie? Okay, because let me back up a little bit. We have, you know, going back, you know, because you have this film class which consists of what, like 6 fucking people? It's like a guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
a guy in a wheelchair. Yeah, I mean, you have all the different characters that you would expect to, you know, see in a horror film. And they're in this film class. But you have the one girl, Maggie, that is, you know, really into writing, you know, this horror movie. And she's getting all of this from her dreams.
Right.
And it's almost like the scary man in her dreams. I got a Nightmare on Elm Street kind of vibe. You know, that it popped into my head. Not really the vibe, but it popped into my head, you know, watching the first little bit. And then all of a sudden you really, you know, they decide, oh man, the film department you know is not getting a lot of funding. So, yeah, moving us all around, we're bottom of the totem pole. We got to do something big. Toby comes in. Bam, he's got an idea. Let's do an all-night, you know, horror film festival, I guess, kind of deal at a local rundown, almost abandoned. Wasn't it abandoned, Jody? What was it?
Yeah.
Theater.
Is that the one? It had been on fire or something before, maybe? That's why it was abandoned, right? There was a fire at one point.
What was it? That one?
Or not?
Yeah. See, I don't know. Do you know, Jody? I mean,
they didn't specify. Yeah.
I don't think so.
But go ahead, guys.
It specified that it was going to get tore down in 3 weeks.
It did, yes.
Mm.
It was, it was getting demolished, so, yeah. and then, you know, just,
yeah, so they,
go ahead.
They decide what, they're going to show 3 student films. That's why the films that they're watching, like the students there made them. That's why it's so bad. Right. If you're watching, like, it's almost a parody of itself where you're watching a bad movie inside of a bad movie, but it's a bad movie that's actually pretty good. It's one of them kind of things is how I would
I told Jody that, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you're watching 4 movies in one.
Right, and it pays. It's kind of paying homage to almost like Phantom of the Opera, right?
Yeah,
the whole idea of the killer himself and all that.
Yes,
but so they go and they hold this film festival, but while they're prepping things, they find this film. It's called Possession, and the guy who made it had made a film or whatever. And the audience had mocked him, and this is what I thought was real cool. He made us another film, and when he did the presentation for the film, they're all there watching at the theater, and I guess while they're watching this movie, he's stealing or boarding shut the doors. And then the movie ends, but it's not the ending, and the house lights come on, and the director is up there with his whole family, and he kills his entire family in front of the audience, then he sets the movie theater on fire and kills them all.
Right,
and it's like, wow! I that's the movie I want to see.
Right, that's the one I wanted to watch too. Right, and but James Gaines, is that what it was?
Gates. Yeah.
Yes,
the guy who made it or whatever.
Yes. The guy who, you know, did all that. Yes, he made a movie called, I think, Possessed, and that was the one. I
Possession,
think
that was the film.
Possession.
The first one.
Yes, it was called Possessed, and then his final one was called The Possessor. He's possessing now. It was Possessed and Possessor. I'm the possessor, not the possession.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. It is. Look it up.
I'm not saying I don't believe you. I'm just saying I didn't
catch
it.
Look it up. It's called The Possessor. Because that's what he says. I'm the possessed. I'm the possessed. I'm the possessed. And he says, I'm the possessor. I possess you. I possess you. Yes, I will possess you.
Yeah. That's about where that went.
So, at least that's what I think. Yeah, I mean, I can't. Can you fact check me there, Dom?
I could. I'm not prepared.
I thought you already would have. But anyway, you're right.
I haven't. No.
But I mean, yeah, the last act, the last scene in this, final movie that was kind of the revenge, what you were getting at, Dom, the revenge of, that he had towards the audience for laughing at him because he hated to be humiliated. So he decided, hey, for this last act, guess what? I'm killing my whole fucking family on stage in front of you. And what happened? Who wants to jump in on that one? I know what happened. I watched this movie. Go ahead, anybody.
Well, that's when his daughter's aunt, because he had already killed his wife.
Oh, can't bring that in yet.
That's where it was at. That's the whole part of the Possessor movie.
Yeah.
Is that his daughter's aunt jumps up on stage when he goes to kill his daughter.
Right.
And she shoots him, and then she knocks the cauldron thing over that had the fire in it, and it sets the place on fire.
Yep.
And then,
And
he died.
He died. Yep. Bad things happen.
Yeah.
All right. So, but
he didn't, because now he's fast, because they found the film.
Right.
That he made, and that's our horror film.
Yep.
And he returns, and what's really cool is he's burned, and he's, as we're able to find out, he makes masks that look very flesh-like, yes, very human-like, and he's able to disguise himself as pretty much anybody.
And right. With the voice and all.
And now, yeah.
But he
and
was
that's
Toby.
Where I thought of Phantom of the Opera with that.
But he was Toby, because right. he was the little boy that was in the movie theater mm-hmm. when they killed his dad, when they killed yeah. her dad, and he got all burnt up, and he had come back to exact revenge because his mom died, and he got all burnt up.
No hate comments, because this came out in 91, and so yeah, we're spoiling the fuck out of this.
That's a big twist. It's a twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
But
it's a good movie.
Twist. Really?
Yeah.
Because, like, you kind of figured it out. Like, I kind of figured out, like, there was something going on there. And it was like, yeah, it wasn't really a surprise.
Right.
And it made more sense. What you end up with is someone who was, he lost his parents, right? His mom or whatever.
Yes,
died.
His mom. Yeah,
he
in
was
the fire.
Severely burnt and disfigured. He got mocked all through school. This is why he began finding ways to make masks and shit. And this is why he wanted revenge. And the girl, Sarah, who survived, could have never survived his train of thought. And that's why he decides, I guess, what? Because this was like on, was this on the anniversary, too, of that event as well? I don't remember if that played a role or not.
I don't know.
It should, because like it just seems like that's typical, like,
right.
You know, 30 years to the day, we're holding this. You know what I mean? It's almost yeah. always 20 years later to the day.
It kind of seems like...
So, I don't know.
It's
not,
it kind of seems like I thought that
better.
It was.
I don't know. I don't think it said anything
in
the movie on whether it was the anniversary or not.
I didn't catch that or not, but that does seem proper.
Yeah, maybe not. But either way, Toby knows that this girl survived and he's managed to stalk her and end up at the same college and in the same film class and
right.
plot all this out and use this event here he selects as his night where he's going to get his revenge.
Yeah, and you know...
It's 1991, it's a good horror film. It's really
yeah.
good.
I really dug it, and yeah, maybe we gave a lot away, but you know, it's in 1991, if you haven't seen
old.
It. Yeah, right. Come on, yeah. people.
It's
so,
30. Like, yeah, you're going to hear spoilers.
you're going to with movies that old. Let's start with you, Mrs.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah, exactly. Let's start with you, Mrs. Dredds. How many skulls you given this one?
I'll give it 4 skulls.
4 skulls. That's probably a pretty decent score. 4 now. We have a 5-skull rating here. Night of Living Dreads goes to the movies. NLD goes to the movies. So that makes 15 with all of us. We mm-hmm. have 4 so far. Mr. Dom, how many skulls are you giving Popcorn? 1991.
I give Popcorn 3 skulls.
3 skulls. Now
it's an enjoyable film.
Okay.
To me, that's like it's enjoyable. I'm glad I watched this. I actually did see this in the theater when it came out. I couldn't remember. That was
really?
Been 30 years. But 3 skulls to me is like, you know what? This movie, if it's on, if it's something I throw on now and then, I can enjoy it.
Right.
It's not one of my favorites. It's not like when I want to watch a horror film, it's not going to be my go-to. But at the
right.
same time, it's not one of the ones where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to fucking watch that again. So yeah, 3 skulls.
Right. All right. Well, 3 skulls is respectable. So we have 7 out of 15. So we're about almost to the halfway point of 15. And, you know, I'm giving this... I'm giving this 4 skulls, and the reason is I'm going to give 2 for the humor, because I thought the humor was actually pretty good, especially after you find out, and he's trying on the mask, you know, you find out who that guy is, and he's flapping around, and, you know, his ears. Anyway, you'll see it. And also the special effects. The special effects were done by one Wayne Toth. Wayne Toth has done such films as, you know, Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses. The list goes on and on. I was at his, what is it, IDMB?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? Yeah, and I seen that name. I was like, Wayne Toth, hold on. He's worked with Zombie in a lot of his movies, as well as other movies. So, you know, up and coming, not really up and coming. He's pretty established. He's got quite a repertoire.
Right.
But anyway, so that's why I give it four skulls. So we have 4, 4, and 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we got 11 skulls. 11 out of 15 skulls. Not too bad. Let's jump right in. What did you bring to the table, Mr. Dom? And again, this is one I absolutely loved.
This was kind of a questionable pick as to whether or not this was a horror film. It's listed as horror film. The premise behind it is probably the most horrifying thing I think we could actually face in reality. So, and in that regard, I kind of can consider it a horror film. My selection was 2014's Aftermath, directed by Peter Enger and starring Edward Furlong, who I'm a huge fan of, and C.J. Thomason and Monica Keena. The story here, the premise is you start off right off the bat, you see the guy walking down the street and he's listening to the radio, and like you get reports that the prime minister of Israel has been assassinated. And you get reports that there's nuclear bombs going off in India, and you start hearing all.
No. Where in the holy hell did you go, sir?
And before long.
Hold on. You
hear me?
Yeah. Oh, well, you apparently cut out for a second. Are you walking around?
I haven't moved.
Oh, you have him.
I have not moved.
We yeah.
You hear me,
yeah? Yeah, no, you're no, you're good now. Please continue.
Where'd I drop off at? Like, they were talking about reports of the war and stuff. You saw some fighter jets fly overhead.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, you see over the tree line or whatever, you see that a nuclear bomb goes off. And the premise of this movie is that American cities are being destroyed by nuclear bombs and pretty much are just trying to survive. And in that regard is how it becomes horrifying, because the bombs don't kill you. It's like the worst. Like if there's a nuclear war, I think you actually want to be close to the bomb so it's over. Because what happens afterwards, and that's what this movie tries to capture, it doesn't really get it to that extent because we're in a small setting and not a large scale one. But
right. We
end up finding that the idea is that people go underground, because that's the first thing you're going to try to do, is to get as much shelter and protection as possible. And then you got to ride out that initial fallout, because when a nuclear weapon goes off, it pulls all that dust and dirt and debris and everything up in the sky, and it's like it's going to black the sky out. It's going to block the sky out for days. You're not going to see the sun. You're not going to know when it's day or night. And that's the premise of what we have here, is a group of people who it almost has like a zombie film kind of feel to it, because you have a group of people who are boarding themselves up in one location, and the people outside are getting sicker and sicker from radiation poisoning. The food's no good, the water's no good, and the insanity begins to creep in. And at some point, you're going to break in and raid places. You're going to go look, is anyone in this house? Is there food in this house? I haven't ate for days. So you have, it's almost like as close to a zombie apocalypse as we can get. And I feel like this film kind of captures that. And you get to watch these people in this basement as they tell the story, go over like a period of a month, you see like the radiation sickness drop, you know, start to set in. You start to see bruising of the skin. You start to see people getting sick and vomiting, clumps of hair falling out. Like it's awful. It's the invisible killer.
Yeah, you see sores, sores and blisters and whatnot. And you made, you know, mention of, oh, it looks like, you know, it does have a zombie movie feel to it. And I had a question that I wanted to, you know, ask you. What is wrong with these people that keep attacking them? Are they just sick from the radiation? Are they, you know, just trying to attack every house they see because they need food and they're sick, whatever? But there was also a biting incident with one of our main group of characters. So, you know, it really went that far into the zombie type mindset, right?
Right, yeah, it did do that. What I can gather, because it's not really explained, they do mention the part after the one had bit one of the people in the basement. Like, they said something right. Like, don't worry, it's not a zombie movie. And they're like, why did she bite me or something? And it's like, she's sick, she's scared, like, probably panicked. Like, I guess that's kind of what's happening here, is people are sick, they haven't ate. Like,
so they're turning to cannibalism.
You're probably not trying to make friends with people. Cannibalism, or if you're in that situation where you're sick and you're starving, like, and you think like a house might have food in it, you're probably not expecting the people inside to be too willing to share. So maybe the best idea is just to go after them in that kind of aggression and kill them and take what they have.
Right. Yeah.
Like that mentality is going to happen. And that kind of situation, that mentality is going to set in real quick on a lot of people. It's like, I'm just going to kill people and take their stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Mrs. Dredds, what'd you think about this movie? We watched this a couple times.
Right.
And what'd you think about it?
I liked it. I thought it was a really good movie. The concept's good.
Kind of a post-apocalyptic type shit going on there.
Yeah, and you do. You question it every once in a while if they are zombies at first. Because they seem like that's what they're coming in to do, attack for that
right,
purpose.
Yeah,
but then,
I know, and then you see them biting, which I get,
defense anyway.
Well, not only that is, you know, they're sick, they're dying, they're hungry, like Dom said, you know, first thing they see is meat.
Right, but they're at a... but they're at a kill or be killed mentality at that point.
A bunch of sick, rabid Jeffrey Dahmers is what I'm saying.
Like I said, they're at a kill or be killed.
No, that's true. That's true. And, you know, what did you put yourself, I'm going to ask you first, Mrs. Dredds, did you put yourself, were you able to put yourself in their situation?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I did. I was able to get behind and involved in the characters. I think the characters were, you know, played very well by the actors and actresses that, you know, Dom had mentioned.
Yeah, they did a good job.
I think they did a great job. And I was able to invest emotion and like, oh my God, what would I do? Like, I mean, just think about that. You know you're going to fucking die. Was that like a Geiger meter? What do they call that? You know, that measures radiation when the older guy was going to, you know, whatever. Yeah, you know, is that what that was doing, Dom? You know what scene I'm talking about, I'm sure.
The Geiger counter, when they finally get the batteries in it and they turn the thing on, and it's like tick, 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 tick. And then it's just static and like everyone's just looking and it's like, oh my God, turn that thing off. We're dead.
Yep.
That's what that is. That's the sound of like you're dead. Like, yeah, turn it off.
And you know what? That really got me right there. I was invested. I was, you know, I was sad when certain characters died.
Right.
I don't get that way. Yeah. Some, you know, I don't get that way sometimes with, you know, series, series that right. last 2-3 seasons. I got that way with characters in an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's good. It's real atmospheric.
It is.
I like you, was able to kind of put myself in that situation.
Right.
And you know what else is good? Here's a comparison I want to make to a movie that we had watched before, which we all enjoyed too, by the way. But one of the things I'd mentioned in that movie was, like, I felt like the way it had been shot, that it just felt like it didn't make it. It seemed like you had the same four shots again, where that movie there was Would You Rather, where they were all around that table in that dining room the whole time.
Yep,
and
that was
like,
good
it
movie.
Seemed like they could have done more with the camera. Here in Aftermath, you have a movie where predominantly they're in the basement. The movie is, what, like an hour and a half? They're mm-hmm. in the basement for probably 75 of those minutes, 80 minutes, like that. And like it, and you get so many different shots of that basement that like you don't even realize that you're almost looking at the same room the whole time. Like the way right. it's filmed and done, with everything about this is actually done really well.
I thought so too. I mean, you know, there were a few shots that, you know, a lot of it, you know, I think because of atmosphere was, you know, maybe shot at night. But the lighting, you know, certain lightings that I saw, this was a film that was done extremely, extremely well. Let's start with some skulls, Dom. How many skulls you give in your film Aftermath? Was that 2014?
Correct. I am giving Aftermath 4 skulls. I enjoyed this movie. I saw it twice in the past week because I had watched it and messaged you like, hey, you need to see this movie.
Right.
And it was like, you know what, let's do a show. And I'm like, oh, you know what, here's my pick. And I watched it again. And like the second time I watched it, I enjoyed it just as much as I did the first time. So it's a 4 skull movie. I'll watch it again. I'll enjoy it again.
Awesome. Mrs. Dreads, we've watched it, you know, at least 2-3 times. Right. I'd say at least twice.
Yeah.
Maybe 2.5. Maybe I fell asleep during one of them. How many skulls you giving this one? This was a really good one.
I give it 4.5.
4.5?
Mm-hmm.
Man, 8.5 skulls already, and I haven't even picked because I'm I'm actually going to follow suit with Mrs. Dreads. I'm giving it 4.5 to, you know, why didn't I give that extra half skull? Why didn't you, Mrs. Dreads?
It's just being a horror person, I would have liked more.
You would have liked more of a horror plot.
Right.
And, God damn it, I'm right there with you.
That's the only thing that didn't get a 5 skulls.
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe if it would have, you know, been more, you know, like a zombie, but it kind of was, in a sense.
Right.
I mean, a real life zombie, all right, isn't going to be, you know, George Romero's, you know, it ain't going to be all that.
Right.
It's going to be the ones who are sick from some kind of biological weapon or something, or a nuclear blast that's invading your home. That's a zombie. That's a real-life zombie.
Right.
Man, maybe I should have gave it 5. All right, so we have 9, 13 out of 15 skulls.
Yep.
For Aftermath.
It's definitely worth a watch.
It's definitely worth a watch. Thank you for that, Dom.
No problem.
That's
I'm
awesome
glad
movie.
It was good.
Yeah. Oh, man, I enjoyed it a lot. I encourage, you know, all fucking like, dreadheads to watch us. What?
It's kind of like as a movie like Alien or Mimic. Is something like that really horror, or is that sci-fi? Like, is this horror? Right. Like, it's in that class of film where it's like, it's kind of horror. It's definitely got horror elements.
Yes.
But is it a pure horror film? No. But is it a pure sci-fi film? No. Is it a pure action film? No. It's kind of, so it's hard to categorize.
It really
But I think,
is.
Like, if you enjoy kind of, like, zombie films, and this here's kind of like a more reality version, because I live in a world where I don't believe the dead can't come back to life. But I do believe, like, in, like, the apocalyptic scenarios where a nuclear war or some kind of, like one of them, when the sun shoots, like, a flare, a solar flare, like,
knocks the whole grid out,
or, like, we're screwed. Like, that kind of stuff, like, that's as close to a real zombie apocalypse as we could get. And, like, that could really happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is scary in that sense.
It is. I mean, this movie, Aftermath, Jody, did it invoke fear in you while you were watching it?
Yeah.
And you know why that is? Because whether you believe it or not, you were actually invested in those characters. And
I never said I wouldn't invest in it. I just didn't put myself in.
No, you actually did, because you were feeling what they were feeling.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what makes a great fucking movie to me.
Yeah.
It does. When you can get invested in characters. Yeah, you can feel like you're in that environment with them.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's how you know, like, you're watching something good.
Yep. And you know what? Hopefully this is something the listeners liked.
I hope.
I hear the white coats coming down. I put out a post. Please, you know, the dreadheads, watch these movies. Let us know what your skull rating is. It's going to drop tomorrow. Thank you, Dom.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Dreads.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was bad. And I'm Otis B. Dreads. Have a great week. Talk to you very soon.
I lost my mommy. Can you help me? All I wanted to do was play with you. Please come and play with me. I'm so lonely. Why do you seem so scared? I know things no one knows. We're going to die.